BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You're about to listen to Intrigue, The Immortals. Episodes will be released weekly, but if you're in the UK, the full series is available now, first on BBC Sounds. What if I told you that death may not be inevitable? Crazy idea, right? Well, there is a kind of life cycle to some crazy ideas. They start way out there, but within a couple of decades, they are so much part of the furniture that we hardly even notice them. I'm talking about technology ideas solving problems that we didn't know we had. Everyone will have a computer in their pocket or on their wrist. Remember how ridiculous that once sounded only 2 decades ago? Then, gifted scientists and upstart entrepreneurs disrupted things, taking huge risks, forcing massive change, determined that nothing would stop them. We were so beguiled or befuddled that we hardly noticed quite how pervasive the idea and the technology was becoming. Until, boom, it bumps up against something big like friendship or skills or democracy. And suddenly, we see the unintended consequences and the missed opportunities that we had to influence or question the way that idea and that technology developed. Well, there is another really big idea emerging now, the next big thing, which you have probably never heard of. And if you have, you've probably dismissed it as bonkers. I first noticed it back in 2003 when it was fringe, even for the fringe. But over those 20 years, it has come out front and center for an elite group of Silicon Valley billionaires. They want to live forever. And they know, not just think, that technology will be the thing that gets them there. It will blow your mind. But stick with me, because we really need to see this one coming.
One of the first things people project is that I somehow have a fear of death. That somehow is my driving force, and I have no fear of death whatsoever. I deeply appreciate being alive every single day. And so really, it's wanting to live a large number of tomorrows with everybody.
Brian Johnson's skin is uncanny. It is the first thing that I notice about him on our Zoom call. And although I know he's 45, it is hard to place his age. He could be anywhere between 18 and 60. I also know that Brian is worth around $400 million, which he earned as a tech entrepreneur and selling up to PayPal in 2013.
After I sold my company, the hypothesis was, is it possible that a fundamental of existence that we've always had as a species, that we will all inevitably die, is that still true? Or is it the case that the science has progressed to a certain degree where it calls that certainty into question?
Brian says that he currently spends $2 million a year of his personal fortune trying out anything science has ever suggested so he can live long enough to live forever.
We are all familiar with the Fountain of Youth story. You know, people in a boat going through a jungle, traveling to a temple and drinking the magic elixir. But I wondered, is it here in tens of thousands of scientific publications? Could I show something is possible? Would that change our orientation to time, life, death?
I'm Alex Krotowski, a psychologist, and I have been reporting on technology for 25 years. I know that when the tech industry gets interested in something, they will do anything to make it happen. Right now, some of their biggest names are investing in immortality. This is a story about what is called longevity, extending the healthy human lifespan by a decade or more. It starts with the science and it ends with the technologies that they claim will get rid of death entirely. Of course, it sounds crazy, impossible, but we would be foolish not to look more closely. After all, these are the people who have already revolutionized our present. Now, they're taking charge of our future. life expectancy has doubled over the last 100 years. Why can't it happen again? You're listening to Intrigue from BBC Radio 4. This is The Immortals, Episode 1, Dracula. After a little while, the uncanniness of Brian begins to fade, and he starts to remind me of some of my tech geek friends. He is, like so many of them, quick and funny and obsessive.
As a team, we have ranked and prioritized every lifespan and health span study out there. And so we have an orientation on what therapies offer, what potential benefits, what potential side effect profile, whether it's an animal model, a human model. And then we've worked through those things systematically in knocking out the protocols. So for example, caloric restriction is something I practice.
And he tries it all, not just caloric restriction, dramatically restricting what and how much he eats, all the rage with Silicon Valley CEOs. He also uses an algorithm to constantly tweak his strict exercise regime and to take supplements and repurposed medicines. And then there are the truly radical therapies. The one that's caught my attention is about being injected with the blood plasma of the young. I'm wondering if you could recall for me the moment that you first heard about plasma transfusion and its potential effects on the body.
In terms of plasma, we thought it was interesting, not because of the overwhelming, compelling evidence, but because of the potential benefits. And so I started doing it myself to explore this.
There's one thing to be presented with caloric restriction or many of the other longevity associated treatments. And then there's another thing to say, I'm going to inject young plasma into my body. You know, there's sort of shades of vampirism.
So I realized that some people have really gotten some good click headlines out of this of vampirism and all that kind of stuff. But I'd say the people who really listened and saw the story, it connected deeply with their own life experiences.
The treatment is extremely strange and possibly dangerous, but, and this is weird, also kind of romantic. Fables and myths are full of characters looking for answers to their mortality. The list starts with Gilgamesh way back when. Brian Johnson wants to be the final name on that list.
I'm currently trying to retell the origin story of the human race.
So Brian Johnson wants some young blood plasma to test the hypothesis that it could give him extra years of healthy life. It's not difficult to find plasma. It's a common treatment. The age of the donor, though, well, that's a little more difficult, but it is possible. When it comes to the quality, if somebody's unhealthy and donates their plasma, maybe that could have a bad effect on age reversal. It's unknown. And Brian Johnson is trying to control every aspect of his treatment from start to finish. This means he needs a blood boy.
I, of course, have the best intentions for my son for his health and wellness, but I've never paid as close attention to what he's eating than prior to this plasma exchange because that's going into my body. So he was a proxy for my own existence.
Yep. You heard that right. Brian decided to get a transfusion of blood plasma from his 17-year-old son, Talmadge. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when that idea was brought up. It's March of 2023. Father and son make their way to one of the few facilities that performs this procedure, which sits on a suburban road outside a major U.S. city across the street from a bank and a pediatric dentist.
Talmadge had never had this done before. He's had his blood drawn before, but it is entirely different that when you're hooked up to this machine and it's a very involved procedure from just a small poke.
You get a needle in your arm, as you would if you were giving your blood, but the machine, which is quite loud, separates the plasma from the red blood cells, and then your red blood cells are returned to your body. It takes a couple of hours.
Talmadge had his 1 liter of plasma extracted first, and there it was on display. So now everyone in the room is sitting there looking at Talmadge's plasma and saying, like, well, what do you think? Does it look healthy? Is it, you know, like, and then my plasma comes out, and now you can compare Talmage's plasma and mine. So it's like you have your innards on display.
To receive the plasma, the bag is hung up on one of those IV stands that you can wheel around in the hospital if you have to go to the loo or get a snack. And slowly, over the course of a few hours, it drips into Brian. But wait, this isn't the end of the story. There's another bag on that stand. This one is for Brian's dad. You see, Brian wasn't just receiving young plasma from a family member. He was willing to give his own to one as well, for science.
My father, who's now 70, he called me one day and he said, "Hey, Brian, I just want you to know that when you begin experiencing cognitive decline, you don't know it." He said, "I always imagined I would feel myself slipping and say, you know, I'm just not as sharp as I used to be." He said, "You don't know," which makes sense. It's decline. So therefore, you have this blind spot to your own decline. I said, "You know, Dad, there's one therapy that we could explore doing."
So there aren't just two generations at the clinic. There are three.
When I started the treatments, I don't recognize an emotional wrapper around it. It was just a functional thing we were accomplishing. With my father and my son, it was very different.
He's not feeling squeamish. He's not worried about safety. He's feeling something totally different.
Yeah, I remember when my plasma was hung and started flowing through my dad's veins. You know, his eyes lit up, his tears, he just started crying. And it was one of the most meaningful moments of his entire life. And, you know, the same is true with me, where, you know, I had done these plasma exchanges before from a donor, but never from my son. And so there I was with my son's plasma about to be infused in my veins and internally contemplating, like, I never imagined that my little baby would grow up and I'd be doing this procedure with him. Like, what a wild experience that we now share this intimacy together.
Yeah. Wild. The technology entrepreneur mindset is startlingly ambitious. I've seen it before. They are willing to try crazy things and moonshot ideas in the hope that they can solve really big problems. But many scientists and people who work in medicine think that the research into age reversal or life extension is experimental. They don't think that there's a silver bullet that will give us extra healthy decades. And Brian's experiment is extreme. But he has deep pockets, and he's proven before that he can spot an opportunity. What if he and the other technology philanthropists are right? What if death as we know it is not an inevitability?
We are baby steps away from creating the most extraordinary event in the entire galaxy. And it happens to be in the very moment that you and I are alive. I would not miss admissions to this show for anything.
As I delved into this story, I discovered that it's not the treatments that get weirder, but the belief in them. This is a wonderland of science. And as we will see, also technology, artificial intelligence. Yes, AI comes into this tale too, but I can guarantee not in the way you might expect. There are big thinkers imagining a long future. There are prophets preaching end times. And the odd con man cashing in on our never-ending appetite for the fountain of youth. So where did Brian Johnson get the idea to take his son's blood plasma? Next time on The Immortals, we find out. Thanks for listening to The Immortals. It was produced and reported by me, Alex Kratosky, and it was written by me and Joanna Humphreys. Our sound designer was Peter Gregson, and it was mixed by George Rigby. It is a Pillow Fort Productions production.
Hi, it's Amit Katwala.
And Charlotte Stavrou here. We wanted to tell you that Season 2 of All Consuming from BBC Radio 4 is here.
In this series, we'll be once again delving into our culture of consumption by examining the services and products that have changed the world.
This time, we're looking at houseplants.
I fell in love with that madly. The idea of just turning a plant into this giant analog synthesizer.
Running shoes.
The beauty of it is you get a chance to understand performance at the highest level.
And tea.
It's the connection and the safety cues to your body that it's over and you're safe.
And much more. So join us for the second season of All Consuming, available on BBC Sounds.